This is the Read, Write, and Create podcast, the podcast where you get a bite-sized session of creative writing coaching from me, Lori L. Tharps. I'm an award-winning author of both fiction and nonfiction, a journalist, and a former college professor. I've spent more than 20 years writing, teaching, and coaching creative writers, and I created this podcast because I want to help as many BIPOC writers as possible get their stories out of their heads and into the world. Are you ready? Let's go. On episode number 30 of the Read, Write, and Create podcast, we're doing two things. We're honoring the late, great James Baldwin, who would be turning 100 years old this year, and you're getting a pep talk about being an American writer abroad. Yes, I am sharing the life and times of Mr. James Baldwin to offer you the opportunity to consider what travel can mean for your writing life, particularly as a Black American or other ethnic American writer. And spoiler alert, if you think we're going to be mostly talking about Baldwin's life in Paris, you're wrong. On this episode, we're going to be talking Turkey. Istanbul, that is. Yes, the country where Baldwin wrote the majority of his most important works and the country that he said on more than one occasion, quote, saved him. Shall we turn the page? Hello, wordsmiths, writers, and sister scribes. Welcome back to all of my regular listeners and to anyone tuning in to the Read, Write, and Create podcast for the first time. I am totally happy that you're all here because that means you take your writing seriously. And hopefully it means that you're looking for some inspirational words to get you writing or keep you writing, or maybe to make you think about your writing and your writing practice in new ways. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing today as we talk about being a writer abroad. Now, for most people, James Baldwin is pretty often thought of as the poster child for the Black writer abroad. I think most people think of him and Josephine Baker as like the quintessential Black expatriates who found artistic freedom in Paris. But that's not really the full story, especially not for James Baldwin. And I do want to make a disclaimer here. There's like a lot of information, obviously, about James Baldwin out there in the world. Information to read, watch, listen to. There are scholars and superfans who can share their deep knowledge about everything James Baldwin ever wrote, everything he ever said, about his life experiences. So hopefully after today's episode, you'll want to find all those experts and all those sources and learn even more about James Baldwin. But for today's pep talk, I am going to be strictly talking about his time in Turkey. I will leave a list of resources, though, in the show notes if you want to deep dive more into Baldwin's work and his life story. But again, we're talking about his time in Turkey, but we do have to start the story from the beginning so we have some context. So James Baldwin was born in New York City, specifically in Harlem, on August 2nd, 1924. He was the oldest of nine children. Yes, he was part of a very large family that didn't have a lot of money, and they grew up in a pretty strict religious household led by his stepfather and his mother, Emma. As the oldest, James took on the role of caretaker for his younger siblings. And when his stepfather died, which happened the year after Baldwin graduated high school, that role of caretaker only intensified. And because he was, you know, like the man of the house at that point, his dreams of going to college to study writing were abandoned. It should be noted that James Baldwin was very much a family man. He loved his siblings and his mom. So yes, he was really obviously disappointed that he couldn't go to college, but he did love his family. So what did he do? Basically, he went to work doing a lot of different menial jobs, but he never gave up on his dreams of being a writer. the thing is, this had been a dream a long time coming for James Baldwin. He knew at a really early age that he was gifted and that he wanted to be a professional writer. He was actually winning awards already and recognition when he was in like middle school. People already told him that he was a great writer. And fun fact, his junior high school French teacher was none other than County Cullen. Yeah, the famous Harlem Renaissance poet and writer was his French teacher in middle school, and he remained one of his mentors throughout his life. So here you have James Baldwin, graduated from high school. County Cullen is his mentor. He's working these menial jobs, helping his mother raise his siblings, but always writing, always writing. Luckily, he had another incredible writer act as mentor, and that was none other than Richard Wright. And Richard Wright recognized James's talent, and he helped him get a fellowship that would allow him to quit all those jobs and just focus on his writing. By this time, James Baldwin was 24 years old. And what he did, he took that money from the fellowship, gave most of it to his mother to help her care for his siblings. And then he took the rest of the money, booked himself a ticket, not a plane ticket, it's 1948. I mean, there were planes, but still, they got a ticket for a ship and he sailed to Paris. Baldwin was very clear at that time. He said he would have been killed or he would have killed somebody had he stayed in the United States as a black man and as a gay man. So he got himself to Paris. And again, he was only 24 years old. But pretty much from then on, James Baldwin became a world traveler and a world citizen. And yet, he was always an American writer. Much of that, maybe you guys all knew already. Baldwin goes to Paris and finds the culture there to be less racist, less oppressive, and he gets to write more than he ever had before. Once he got to Paris, he started just traveling all over Europe. He was in Switzerland and England. And essentially, he's really going all over the world. It's like once he took one trip, he's like, let's go. Let's see the world. He went to Puerto Rico. He went to Israel. He went to Senegal. He went to the Soviet Union more than once. He was going everywhere. But he didn't actually make it to Turkey until he was 37 years old in 1961. So let's figure this part out. All right. So Baldwin's 37 when he goes to Turkey. Where is he in his life at that point? He's already a literary star. His first book, the novel Go Tell It in the Mountain, it was very well received. The year later, he won a Guggenheim Fellowship. That's huge. Then his next book is the essay collection, Notes of a Native Son. Then after that, his controversial but still award-winning novel, Giovanni's Room, comes out. He's winning more awards. He's becoming very active as an activist, as an anti-racism activist, civil rights activist. He's criticizing and speaking out against Americans' deeply entrenched racism and their crippling addiction to white supremacy. And even though he was completely outspoken, he still had this kind of air of celebrity to him, such that by the time he's in his mid-30s, a major Hollywood studio hired him to adapt Alex Haley's The Autobiography of Malcolm X into a film. They wanted him to write the script. So again, that kind of shows you what kind of reputation he has, right? He's celebrity, he's activist. But what happened was the situation in Hollywood did not work out very well. Baldwin kept clashing with the studio execs about how to portray Malcolm X. I think you can imagine who wanted to make him more realistic and who wanted to water him down. But the experience was really bad for Baldwin. He basically felt like the Hollywood people did not value his work or his opinions on the project. It was extremely demoralizing for him. This is also a time when a lot of his activist friends have been killed. There's a lot of racial violence happening in the world. And Baldwin slips into a depression. He actually attempts suicide. And he just abruptly leaves Hollywood. He just walks away from the job and ends up in Turkey. This is 1961. Reports say that he arrived in Turkey broke, emotionally spent, and struggling to complete his third novel, Another Country. How and why Turkey? It seemed pretty random, but Baldwin had a friend, an actor, who had actually starred in a version of Giovanni's Room that had been staged. And that friend had said, hey, if you're ever in Istanbul, look me up. And that's literally what he did. He literally showed up on this man's doorstep and was in this kind of broken state. But that's why Baldwin said that Turkey healed him. It saved him. He really fell in love with Turkey. And from that time on, from that original trip in 1961, he spent the next 10 years of his life living in Turkey off and on between Istanbul, Erdek, and Bodrum. And it's really key to realize what time period this was. This was the 60s. This was the decade of the 60s, some of the most turbulent years in the United States with regards to the fight for civil rights. In fact, Baldwin was quoted in Essence magazine in 1970 saying, quote, it was very useful for me to go to a place like Istanbul at that point in my life because it was so far out of the way from what I called home and the pressures, unquote. One journalist said this, I think, perfectly, quote, in Istanbul, Baldwin was the writer he wanted to be. In America, he was the activist he had to be, unquote. And that pretty much sums up what living or even just traveling abroad can do and be for a writer, particularly a writer of color, who can never simply exist in America without the burden of his or her race interrupting the imagination. Not to mention exploring the world without the framework of race, particularly the limiting black and white binary found in the United States. James Baldwin, the artist, wanted out of America so he could truly focus on his craft and his creativity. And he found that freedom in Turkey because it was far enough away and far enough removed from the United States and the United States' oppressive culture. So when he said that Turkey saved him, he meant that he could operate as an anonymous person in a place that didn't require anything of him. He didn't have to stand for anything. He didn't have to protest anything. And reportedly, James Baldwin didn't learn how to speak Turkish. He stayed out of their politics. He just simply did his thing. He lived as a writer. He engaged with the local community. He was creating art with local artists. But by not demanding anything from the country of Turkey demanded nothing of him in return. And he was finally able to just be himself, his full self. And Turkey offered more than just distance. It wasn't just like Turkey was the furthest away he could get, because as I mentioned before, he'd been traveling all over. He'd been to a lot of further away places. But what was unique about Turkey at that time, and still is that Turkey is a divided country, divided by East and West. It is Europe and it is Asia. It is Christian and it is Muslim. It is incredibly diverse culturally as well. And it was that multicultural milieu that attracted Baldwin and gave him permission to express all of his own disparate parts, his multiple identities, which in the United States and even in France, he always felt pressured to choose one over the other. Are you a black man? Are you a gay man? Like, what are you? But in Turkey, a country that itself was multidimensional, he felt a certain amount of freedom to be gleefully multi-hyphenate in his own identity. And then that bled into his work as an artist. Here's a quote from LitHub. Istanbul, with its historical and cultural richness and contradictions, must have only strengthened Baldwin's resolve to create work that was complex and kaleidoscopic in both form and content, unquote. So it wasn't just that Turkey was far away. It's what Turkey represented as a multicultural society where Baldwin's own diversity of identity could be expressed. That's what he found there, that level of freedom and that almost mirror of complexity in the culture. He could then explore that for himself and in himself. What I find really interesting is that with all of the time that Baldwin spent in Turkey, He never really wrote about Turkey that much. In fact, Baldwin scholars and fans alike lament the lack of information there is about his time in Turkey, even though he spent almost a decade there writing his most famous works. I bet some of you listening didn't even know that half of Baldwin's self-imposed exile was in Turkey. I didn't know. I honestly didn't know until recently. I really thought he had spent all of his time abroad in France. But I really think this was intentional. I think James Baldwin was intentionally keeping Turkey for himself. It was his place to be anonymous to a certain extent. It was his place where he could contemplate and consider the rest of the world without being judged himself. Baldwin often said that he needed distance from America in order to write about her, to observe her properly. He said, quote, "One sees America better from a distance, and you can make comparisons to another place, another country," unquote. So we have James Baldwin from 1948 until his death in 1987, commuting between France, Turkey, and the United States, with the majority of that time abroad. And yet, James Baldwin was undeniably an American writer who is known for his works that examine race, sexuality, religion, and American society in general. Fiction, nonfiction, plays, poetry. He was a prolific writer and cultural commentator. But he could only do this work outside of the United States, where he could not only critically observe, but he could breathe. James Baldwin did spend the last years of his life in France, supposedly because it was easier for him to stay in contact with his publishers in France. But he wasn't even in Paris. He had a house in a small town in the south of France, which again is where he was able to find the writer's greatest treasure, peace and quiet. James Baldwin died at age 67, sadly, from stomach cancer. So what's the lesson here? As writers today in the 21st century, what can we take away from Baldwin's traveling lifestyle? One, you can still be 100% an American writer and live abroad. In fact, living abroad can actually give you a better perspective or vantage point to observe America. James Baldwin started writing another country in Corsica and finished it in Turkey. He wrote a big portion of Go Tell It on the Mountain in Switzerland. He said, quote, "I love America more than any other country in the world, and exactly for this reason, I insist on the right to criticize her perpetually," unquote. Takeaway number two, as a Black person or any other person of color, it can sometimes be so exhausting just surviving in the United States. There is no space left in your brain for creativity. So moving abroad or just traveling abroad can provide the mental space and freedom to allow that creativity to seep back in. Number three, as a writer, James Baldwin didn't look for a new country that felt like home. He was looking for a place where he could be anonymous and quiet. He said searching for a home was a futile act and a waste of time. Quote, "The place in which I'll fit will not exist until I make it," unquote. So writers, if you're looking for a place to write abroad, don't get caught up in looking for that perfect place where the people look like you or where your ancestors are or that place that everybody else is flocking to because Forbes magazine ranked it number one for something. Look for the place that inspires your creativity, where you can write in peace, where you can be your whole authentic self, and baby, where you can afford, okay? You don't want to be writing and running out of money. Paris is expensive. If by any chance you're looking for a European escape, try Albania. I'm serious, really. Check into Albania. All right, number four. Turkey was a multicultural society that embraced her disparate parts, which was something James Baldwin had a hard time doing in the United States. So the lesson there is you must find a country that mirrors your personal values or identities, because this then can greatly be a source of affirmation and be very useful for you and your writing life. It helps if you feel seen and affirmed in the country you are choosing to write in. Number five, seeing the world simply makes you a better writer because it forces you to re-examine everything you think is real and true. Traveling forces you to ask questions of things you simply take for granted every day back home. It provides you with new versions of reality to infuse into your work. Now, I am not suggesting you have to move abroad permanently to be a better, more self-actualized writer. James Baldwin didn't do that. James Baldwin was back and forth to the United States constantly. He called himself a, quote, transatlantic commuter. Sometimes all it takes is a week in another country to recalibrate, to shift your mindset, to free yourself from certain societal norms. Traveling is an excellent way to give yourself new perspectives, new ideas, new visions. And for Black writers and other people of color in the United States, those of us who too often have to spend too much of our mental energy on survival, leaving no room for inspiration and creativity to thrive, travel can be life-changing. Did you know that some of our greatest American writers of color have intentionally used travel outside of the United States to find or reignite their writing spirit? Not necessarily moving abroad, just traveling for a spell. Langston Hughes, Richard Wright, Nella Larsen, Jesse Redmond Fawcett, Arturo Schomburg, Chester Himes, Maya Angelou, Frederick Douglass, Audre Lorde, and Nina Simone. All of these writers found their next book idea or story idea or article idea from traveling. Some of them also found the freedom they needed to just write what they wanted to write away from the surveillance and judgment in the United States. So travel has always been a known solution for writer's block and that particular brand of illness experienced by writers of color, that illness that doesn't allow us to breathe. So go somewhere new, see something different, find a place to be free where you can breathe. Be like James Baldwin, who said, quote, I met a lot of people in Europe. I even encountered myself, unquote. Thank you for listening to this award-winning podcast. I hope you enjoy listening to it as much as I enjoy creating it. If you do, please leave me a rating and a review wherever you're listening to the show right now. Thank you so much. All right, I have a big announcement. If you've been wanting to know more about the Read, Write, and Create Sanctuary, which is our private community for BIPOC women writers who want to get published and get paid, well, you're in luck because we're having an open house on Sunday, May 19th for the Sanctuary. The fun starts at 3 p.m. Eastern time, and during the open house, you'll learn all about what we offer our members, and our members are both emerging writers and authors with multiple titles published. At the open house, you'll hear from current members who are really crushing their writing goals, and we're also going to be playing a quick game of literary trivia, and yes, prizes will be awarded. So, all my poets, novelists, short story writers, memoirists, nonfiction writers, if you are actively searching for a community of like-minded women where you will find unwavering support, accountability, professional development, writing workshops, and curated resources to help you get your writing out into the world, come to the open house, ask your questions, and get your writing life lit. And by the way, we will be closing the doors to the Sanctuary for the summer while we work together on making significant progress on our works in progress. So don't wait too long to join us. Check the show notes for the link to sign up for the open house. I really hope I get to see some of you there. The Read, Write, and Create podcast is produced by me, Lori L. Tharps. Our editor is Brad Linder, and our theme music is by Wataboy. I'll be back in 2 weeks on Monday with an exciting guest who is hands down my favorite living writer. So be sure you're subscribed to the show so you don't miss it. Until then, keep writing.